brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
Thing this year, these guys are, they're up there on the front line, coaching those guys up that are in the game after them, encouraging their teammates.
It's as big as it gets. I told my kids this morning, everybody knows it's Winterville.
Every defense is a rep. I don't care where you're lined up. You have 3 seconds to get to that football.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. Nick there, Nelly here, and it is the last week of the regular season, which blows my mind.
How are we here already?
You rotated the earth or something. I don't know.
And it's on Halloween. I should have worn a costume today.
See, that would have been pretty funny.
I should have.
But you broke out the coral. I don't know if that's necessary.
It's orange. The lighting makes a coral. It's orange.
Okay, so it's orange and it's fringy and...
I've got fringe shoes on, too. You can't see them.
What? Wow. Fringy sneakers. I was not aware that something like this was going to break us down already.
Here we are. Lots of treats today, John.
Yes, and it is a great matchup that we have to wrap up things on the football side, on the over-the-air side. Last week... It was a region title decided, North Gwinnett and Norcross out there at Norcross. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, two great matchups across the board, the North Atlanta and West Forsyth. That was one we had with Cody Chaffins on the on the bark for that one. So we had some region champs decided, and one of those was on our air last night.
That's right. And I mean North Gwinnett absolutely dominated. 44-6, and like you said, region 7-6A belongs to the Bulldogs.
Crazy. They almost had 300 yards on the ground.
Right.
The first, you had two drives of either close to 80 yards or more. You had the 190-plus yard drive, that 18 plays, 97 yards. I mean, I think that was the one where if you sat Coach Godfrey down in a chair and you're like, let me know, this is the one you want. He's like, yes, that's the one. That's the kind of drive I want. It's like the cross-examination in the courtroom. That's the kind of drive you want. And he's like, well, yeah, that's absolutely the drive I want. Because those can be just absolutely demoralizing for a team. Yeah.
They were solid in all three phases. And now they have their last game is against Duluth. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be playoff bound.
Yep. 2-4, 4-5 Duluth. North Gwinnett 6-0, 8-1. And this is going to be the fun part for us because it's math.
Oh, boy.
We know a couple of region champs. We know a handful of those. But now we're talking twos and threes and fours and who's in and who's out and 5-4 and 6-4 like we had last week. And there's one on the coast that I think is a 10-team region that's got 6-4 that are chasing that one. So, yeah, it's going to be an exercise to make sure that we all have our erasers ready, that if we're confident we write in pen, which is what I always do because I don't have pencil and pen, but it's going to be that kind of a week this week.
I was going to say, throughout the course of the show, we're going to talk about tricks and treats, or I'm going to bring
that up, if
you will.
Yes.
So right now, John, off the top of your head, what is the one matchup this week that's going to be a little tricky? Either it was tricky for them getting there. Maybe it's tricky due to plagued by injuries. Maybe it's tricky due to location. Maybe it's tricky. I don't know. You see where I'm going with this?
I do. And I think it has to do with one of our guests coming up.
Okay.
Go to Region 1-6A.
Okay.
You've got the four teams, we know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know the order.
Okay.
Lowndes and Valdosta. Nothing like Wintersville.
Wintersville. Right, right, right.
Last week of the regular season.
On Halloween.
Yes. And then you have Colquitt and Richmond Hill as your three and your four.
Okay.
And so you have Colquitt, and I'm trying to see, where is that one? It is at Richmond Hill. So Sean Calhoun's going to have to pack a lunch, a dinner, a midnight snack, leave after our show is over, and get to Richmond Hill in time to do that game on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Literally,
and
you're going
Lowndes
from,
just beat Richmond Hill.
Yeah, so literally, you're going from Moultrie to the coast.
Right. Okay, so that is tricky, geographically.
Mm-hmm. And so you're looking at that one, and so... Wintersville can put this back in the blender if it goes one way or the other. Valdosta wins. You're 4-1. Lowndes is 4-1. You've got your tiebreaker. Then Lowndes drops to 4-1. Then Colquitt and, you know, Richmond Hill, 3-1, 2-2 in region play. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of math this week, so make sure that you have erasers handy. And I mean, you look at that one in 6A. I'm looking at, where is it? In Quad A with what happened last week. Warner Robins with the win over Ware County, put that one back in the blender. It, three teams at 2-2 and two teams at 1-3. Benedictine, they're off and running. They're good to go. They're a region champ. Okay. But you've got Ware, Warner Robins, and Perry all at 2-2. You've got Wayne and New Hampstead at 1-3. I'm not using this device for that region.
Yeah, you need a pencil.
That's going to be a pencil region when it comes to that. You know, Region 2 in Quad A, you've got Locust Grove at 7-1, Ola and Stockbridge are 6-2, Hampton, Jones County 5-3, Eagles Landing with an outside chance at 4-4. That's the kind of math that we're dealing with here coming into this last week of the regular season. And that's just like three or four regions out of the entire state that we had these decisions to make.
Okay, so let's go towards treats.
Sure.
What are the classic the classic matchups that are just absolute
You already mentioned one.
For television.
Ours.
For watching purposes. I mean, of course, our game of the week.
Well, And, I mean, literally, if you can find a way to get a ticket to Wintersville.
Right.
Good luck. But enjoy it. Roswell and Milton's got to decide some things.
Because Roswell just beat Gainesville, who beat Milton.
Gainesville's in the barn at 8-2, so you've got that one. You've got the other region that we were talking about in last week with Justin Rogers, Region 2-5A. Thomas County Central beats Houston County. So Thomas County Central, region champ. They're out here, and you can do them in Penn. Houston County, Lee County, 3-1. They play each other. So Houston County, if things go a certain way, they could be going from top of the region to going on the road in the postseason if they don't knock off Lee County. Coffee kind of hovering in the weeds at 2-2 right now. So, you know, that one to me just is staring at me right in the face as one of those that it's going to be just crazy. Dublin and Northeast are 7-1. Bleckley and Dodge are 6-2 in Class A, D1, Region 2. And I mean, yeah, literally. That's why. And this is, all right, so first world problems, just to show you. All right. My region standings are great. I can read all of my region standings. And thanks to our friends, obviously, at the Georgia High School Football Daily. But now, let me show you. This is what I have to deal with otherwise. So after the region standings were printed on my printer at home, everything just went kaplooey. I'm having to sort through all of this stuff to try and read. So if at some point during the show, Nikki actually takes over because she can actually read her own handwriting and I can't read the printer, it's all good.
I brought glasses today in case.
Well, but
also, I need everyone to know that this isn't just regular paper that John has. It's cardstock.
Yeah. I ain't messing around.
You are not messing around.
Mm-mm.
I respect it.
No. And so just to let you know, this week, before we toss to our first guest, it's Joey King, the head coach at Carrollton. We catch up with one of the Wintersville coaches. We catch up with Adam Carter down at Lowndes. We catch up with Johnny White, the head coach at Douglas County. So we are really looking forward to that. So let's go in a no dilly, no dally zone and talk to our first coach, Joey King.
All right, Coach, technically you went 1-0 this week due to the bye week, but with Douglas County on deck, how do you stick to that formula that you talk about all the time and go against the Tigers this week?
Yes, I mean, for us, it's just another game. You know, we play for a championship every week. It's been a cool deal. We started this year, actually. We took it a step further. You know, we always said that we want to go 1-0 every week. But this week, we've had a championship theme each week, and we've played for a trophy, a different trophy each week. So for us, it's just another game. It's the most important one of the year because it's the next one.
Coach, when you talk about the team, this 2020 Sixers, if you will, they were eighth graders when you came into this role. So what can you share about how special this group is and how you guys have grown year after year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I appreciate you asking something I'm going to get emotional on. these guys have grown tremendously as young men. And when I think of where some of them were as knucklehead eighth graders to the fine young men that they are right now, it's humbling that I've been able to be a part of that growth. So I'm definitely proud of them and excited about, you know, trying to continue their football career. And this senior class, I think, has the opportunity to be the winningest class in Carrollton football history. So it's special to be a part of this bunch for sure.
So how difficult and different is it, even from when they were knucklehead eighth graders to now? How different is coaching? How different is being on the sidelines 8 days a week, on the field, off the field? I mean, it's got to be different even in the last year or two, but how different is coaching these days from the last 4 or 5 years out there?
You know, I mean, it's a little different, but really the good part about it is that the good stuff stays the same. You know, kids are still kids. Life lessons are still life lessons, and the opportunity for growth in that area is still great.
Coach, I know every year you rally the troops around a certain saying, whether it was brick by brick or something else. What's been kind of your motto going into this year, and especially, you know, like we just talked about, that special group that you've been with the past few years?
Yeah, so this year is about championship mindset. You know, we actually started with week one of the season and had an acronym for championship. Last week was the P. And then mindset, the next 7 weeks will take us through the playoffs, if I've done my math correctly.
I was going to say somebody was doing math.
Yeah,
I think so. So we're on the M this week, and the M stands for motivation. We're kind of talking about what's your why this week as we go. But throughout the course of the year, it's championship mindset in everything that you do.
Because of the reputation that Carrollton has with what you've built and going all the way back to basically to Charlie Grisham, I imagine it's difficult to schedule non-region opponents to a certain degree because this region is a sprint. I mean, literally it is, you're looking at four region games and you're out the door and you're into season three. Because of what you've established there, how difficult is it to fill out a 10-game schedule year after year so you know how tested you will be come season two and then season three in the postseason?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. You know, you want to – I think there's a balance and an art to scheduling. You want to find, you know, some stiff competition that can get you ready for those deep playoff-type games. But then also you don't want to beat yourself up each and every week. That's the ideal version of it, but scheduling it's a whole other story. You know, you have to have availability. We had to find six non-region games. So it definitely presents a challenge, especially when you're a successful program.
So what he's saying is that's been tricky. And with Halloween this week,
uh-oh,
Coach, what is going to be the ultimate treat this Friday night, Halloween game, Carrollton versus Douglas County? What's going to be the treat for us and the fans?
You know, just us doing what we're supposed to do. You know, we're not overhyping it. You know, we're going to come put our hard hats on and go to work. You know, we got a program full of workhorses, not really a lot of show horses, you know, so hopefully they show up ready to work.
But they're going to come in with the M, which is motivation. So what has been their answers to their why? And is there anyone that's giving a motivational speech? And if so, what's going to be the components of that message?
Well, Coach Josh Barge, our receivers coach, he has this week. This is his theme, so he's gonna kick it off today. We'll have to keep the rest of that a secret until Friday.
Oh, okay. I tried, John.
I know. All right. So since this is Halloween week, and Nikki has brought out, I think the only thing missing for Nick is the Surrey because she's got the fringe all taken care of. When it comes to Halloween, the holiday in and of itself, how much of a sweets guy are you? How much of a Halloween candy guy are you? Are you like me where you sit there and you smuggle all the Reese's out, you put them in the freezer, you hang on to them? Is there a go-to Halloween candy for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I've never been a huge candy guy, but I do, you know, I go through my kids' bags and get the bite-sized Snickers. If they got some Snickers, that's my gold right there.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, as a parent, there's always one piece of candy you're snatching from them, and it's mom tax, dad tax. So,
yeah,
John,
right. That's the one.
On the sideline, you're going to have to bring him some Snickers to put in
his
pocket.
Absolutely.
Just the bite-sized ones.
Bite-sized Snickers.
One per quarter.
Well, there you go. And I'll give you.
You can't eat just one.
No, you can't. All right. So I'm writing this down. Now that I know it's bite-sized Snickers, I know that I have to go to the store and get like the 60-pack because get this. I guarantee you, I start handing those out to Joey, I'm going to get mobbed. They're going to say, oh, you got some for Joey. We got some for Coach. Well, what about me?
No, it's Coach tax. He gets it.
Well,
nobody else.
I'll just give him the bag. How about that?
He has nowhere to put it.
Give you just the bag. Well, I'll give it to Matt Skinner. How about that? Matt Skinner gets the bag, and he has to make sure that all 60 are in there. Great to see you as always, Coach. Thanks for dropping by the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. I know it's going to be a very, very busy week for you with us, for you with you, and we'll catch up with you out there on Friday night. Great to see you, my friend, and we will be seeing you very, very soon.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys.
Thanks, Joey.
Thank you.
You heard Nikki in the open. Madonna, Tiger, Jack, Coke, Pepsi, Wintersville. That's what it is. You know it by one name and one name only. Here's the Lowndes half of that matchup down south this weekend.
Okay, Coach, so John and I were talking. We do have some listeners and viewers that might be unfamiliar with what exactly the Wintersville Classic is. So I'm just going to set the stage real quick. These two teams have played against each other since 1968. However, it became the Wintersville Classic in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Coach, you're heading into the Wintersville Classic to close out your season.
Shoot.
At Death Valley. What can we expect with the magnitude of this matchup come Friday night on Halloween?
Oof.
What a cool experience, you know what I mean, for everybody. I mean, this is the things that you talk to your kids about. Like, we get to do this, you know what I mean? Like, we don't have to do this. These are opportunities that you get that you'll never forget. You know, a lot of folks would love to be in an environment that we're going to be in and never have an opportunity that our kids are about to have. And so there'll be 10,000 of them yelling at us Friday night. You're going to have two good football teams going out there with a lot on the line for us, you know, for this season. And then you throw in the Wintersville part of it for our communities and the bragging rights and all that. And it goes a long way now. Don't discredit the how intense this is down here. It's as big as it gets. I told my kids this morning, everybody knows this Wintersville. I had guys that I've talked to from clinics that have reached out to me from New Hampshire and Iowa talking about, hey, Coach, it's the big one. And so everybody's aware. You know, I think that I try to flip the script a little bit. You know, I don't want to add any added stress to our kids. They know what the game is. You know, I just talked to them about today, this morning in weights was, man, just go today and win today. Friday is going to be here. Like, it's going to show up. It ain't going away. And then you throw in Halloween. We're going to have student sections in Halloween costume. My little man will be in a Halloween costume. And so just so many different things. It'll be a great time.
How much sleep do you get on a week like this? Because you mentioned before we started doing this for real, literally it's like Richmond Hill. So it's pack a lunch, a dinner, midnight snack, you know, maybe a stop at the Waffle House on the way after the match coming back from the coast.
4 hours.
4 hours. And then you've got to get ready. You've got to start watching film all over again, getting ready for this one that is known by one name. I mean, how much sleep do you get during this week? And how do you try to make sure that you and the staff are as sharp as you can be for this week so you're not burning yourselves out trying to get ready for this one?
Well, you know, I think that for me, I am a creature of habit, right? And so I keep the same schedule all the time. And so, like, there may be a little more emphasis. We spend a little more time here and there and doing what we're supposed to do. But, you know, I feel like the way I've done it, John, since 2018 is the way I've done it. I haven't changed. And so, like, I try not to let the moment get too big and just go against everything that my staff does and our kids do just because of the title of the game, right? And so I think that's key for me. Again, I am creature of habit. My wife would call me a couple other things probably, but I have to keep my schedule, you know, and I think the consistency part is good for the kids. Like, when we go out there to the field today at 3:20, our practice will look exactly the same as it did last Monday. And so, again, I think that the sleep and the time is important. You know, it's a stressful event. It's a stressful time, but that's the season, you know? And so you've got to be able to take care of yourself. You got to take care of your kids. It may be a little bit less, you know, again, we didn't get home as early as we'd been getting home last night, but you know, I learned a long time ago that our goal and our job is not to look at a clock. Our goal and our job is to get our job done, and then we go home and see our family, right? And so we're going to do that. You know, we're going to work till the job's done. We're going to work until we feel like we give our kids the best opportunity to be successful. And whatever time that is, we go home. You know, I don't look at the watch and say, hey, they need to see my truck here at whatever clock. No, they know I'm working. They know our staff's working. So, again, we try to get sleep. You know, you buy stock in melatonin gummies. Try to make sure you can fall asleep at night because I can't turn my brain off. I got all the initials behind my name, and so it's a I have to have something to get my brain to shut off at night. But again, it's just part of it.
Coach, you guys have been consistently competitive since you came into the head coaching spot in 2018. In order to get the job done, what are a few things that you know that your team, the Vikings, have to do in order to pull away a win in Death Valley?
I think the biggest thing for us defensively is one is going to be to handle the tempo. You sit there and watch, and even, the chains are barely set. And the ball is snapped. And so, and they go faster after they get, a couple of plays, or a couple of first downs and all that. So that's going to be a huge part defensively. That when you put that tempo part in it, it changes the game. They have, three or four group of five, power five kids on offense. They got three SEC commits on defense. But, in order for us to slow them down, they haven't punted very much. They go 4-on-4, so like we're gonna have a long night defensively. We got to find a way to play early, play well early, like in the downs, in the possession. Sorry, that was my superintendent calling right there. So I just sent her a voicemail, so I'm gonna blame that on you two guys.
We'll take it.
Absolutely. You need a note from class, we'll give you one.
Yeah, you're gonna have to email her, I think, because I love my job, and I that one might have got her just now. But anyway, we'll get it done. And then offensively, they pressure. They are going to bring five, six, almost every play. We've got to be able to handle the pressure. We got to give Jace time. We've been able to run the football. Mason Woods has done a good job for us. Our offensive line's got to be able to handle all those moving pieces. We can't turn it over. We turned it over three times Friday against Richmond Hill at third place. And so you're going to have to play the best game of the season. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. Our kids know that. We know that. If you don't play your best game, either one of us, if we don't play our best game, then we won't be able to win. And so, again, you just try to prepare them to go out there and play the best they got.
Coach, as the games have continued to pile on, has there been anyone on your team, if you will, in light of Halloween this week, that has been just scary good for you and your team? Like, is there anyone that really has just taken it to the next level and you're like, man, that's a treat having him on our team this week?
I think the biggest impact we've had and the biggest up from the unknown side has to be Mason Woods. Mm-hmm. We lost our two leading rushers with Marvis and Aleem Brown, both went to college. We knew we had Jace coming back. We knew we had offensive line guys mm-hmm. coming back. We just didn't know. We didn't know who was going to carry that weight. And Mason Woods, he's a junior. He's rushed for 1123, I believe is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so he has done a tremendous job. He broke another one. He had 130, I think, Friday against Richmond Hill and broke a 70-yard run at the end of the game to kind of seal it right there at the end. And so he has he's been that bright spot for sure. And he's going to have to play really well Friday because, again, it's going to be tough sledding inside mm-hmm. the tackles. He's going to have to get those yak yards. They're going to hit him. He's got to be more physical and fight through some stuff and in order for us to be able to establish a run game.
All right, serious stuff from now on. We know that Friday is Wintersville. We know that you're getting prepped for a game. But when it comes to Halloween in and of itself, how big a Halloween household are you when it comes to candy, buying a lot of it, shoving it in the freezer, priorities, making sure no one else touches your favorite candy? How big a Halloween guy are you?
Yeah, we love it. So I'll give you a little insight. So my wife calls me this morning and says, see, her and still on FaceTime. And I get, Dad, this is my last day of school this week. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And so they have a tradition since we've been down here that they go to Mickey Mouse Halloween Fest, Halloween night, whatever it's called, on the week of Halloween. So they're actually headed out to Disney tomorrow.
Can Molly adopt me?
Yeah, listen, that's their little thing. And again, I try to go with them when I can, obviously. But I came home from work, I think, right after the first of the month, then I had decorations out front. My little man will dress up in some costumes in a heartbeat. So, the thing here, though, this year, Last year was on a Thursday night, and the communities and stuff around here did everything on Thursday, and because the game was on Friday. And my neighborhood is one of the biggest ones that does Halloween in town, and they kept it on Friday. So we're not going to be able to be a part of that this year. So again, he'll get his deal, but yeah, now I don't dress up too much. What you see right here is about as dressed up as I get.
I'm right there with you.
But I fully support. It's a fun little holiday, and I told him we're gonna go to the haunted houses and all that stuff if he can handle it.
No
So,
way.
yeah, he's a trooper now. He's a trooper.
Our boys are the same age, and I'm like, what's he gonna dress up? What's he into right now?
Well, today he went to school in a cowboy outfit,
Love it.
chaps and all.
Chaps. So
I'm not
good.
exactly sure what he'll end up by the end of the week, but that was today.
I love that. Okay, now if you could dress up, this is a weird question, I'm sorry. If you could dress up for a day and be any other coach,
Oh, wow.
yeah, past, present, could be college, high school, I don't care. But like, who's the one coach that you're like, man, if I could dress up as this guy and be a head coach, that's who I want to be?
Dress up and be in his shoes, right?
And it could be metaphor, metaphorically
I mean, like,
speaking, you know?
if you were doing Halloween dress up as another coach not named you, who would you dress up as a Halloween thing?
Just to be in their shoes for a day.
I'll be honest, you know, I try not to fanboy as much as I can when they come around, but like I follow everything that Coach Mark Kirby does. I think that what he does and how he handles his business is I emulate some things, and I don't even know. I think some of the passion you see sometimes on the sideline maybe may carry out too much, I guess. But just to see what he deals with, you know, I think we're all in positions where we get judged every day by everybody. And you know, and to be able to, I don't think you really know what that man deals with until you could get in his shoes. So I would say that one. I think that would be a huge growing experience to see what that world even looks like. Because you know, as a high school coach, you're like, man, I wish I could get that opportunity. And then to be able to see what it looks like, it'd probably be a little humbling.
Well, you know what this means? That means that, well, we're used to seeing the Kirby copter. This means that we need to have the Carter copter.
Carter Copter.
Yeah, well, listen, that the with my budget right there, it ain't gonna be much of a copter. Maybe a little drone, but all I
Or a
got.
golf cart.
Yeah, well, listen, I told somebody my golf cart, I'm just hoping the front left wheel stays on my golf cart as we drive around the neighborhood right now. So we got all kind of problems.
Well, the first problem is you need to be putting letters in your neighborhood and saying, hey, can you just like throw me a bone and
Like
let's do Halloween on Thursday?
y'all, I
Yeah,
mean.
the old Facebook group.
Yeah, the
I
HOA,
can
get on that.
promise. Yeah, you can. I can promise you that Molly Carter's name has popped up on that
Listen,
Facebook.
she is
I
my
promise.
people. She is my
I
people.
promise.
I love that.
Oh man! As always, great to catch up with you, especially in one of the busier rivalry weeks here in the country. It's great to see you, my friend, and do not be a stranger. You know that you can knock on the door anytime. It's great to see you. Get as much rest as you can. Prep as I know you do. It's going to be a great week, and thanks for hanging out with us here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast.
I appreciate you guys. Go Vikings.
Two coaches down, one to go, and for this one, we head back to our matchup on Football Fridays in Georgia, one of the great gentlemen of the game here in the state of Georgia. It is Douglas County head coach Johnny White about the mountain he's got to climb on the road this weekend to chase after a region title.
Thanks for joining us, Coach. You'll be traveling down 30 miles to Grisham Stadium. How are you preparing your team to face the number 3 ranked Trojans?
Preparing for a great football team, preparing for a great coach, the well-coached team. Be ready for everything is what we try to tell our kids, and just be ready to play. The main thing about us is we got to worry about what we do first. We got to make sure that we take this time to get better this week. Be ready for it. They got a lot of great skilled guys on offense. The running back's unbelievable. 3 great slot receivers. The defense is very well coached and played, flies around, very fundamentally sound. And the Helton kid that's going to Georgia plays O-line, but he's been dominating on D-line too. So our work is set out for us. So, but we got to have a great weekend. That starts today.
When it comes to your schedule, you and I had this conversation actually after the Buford game, and you were walking to the buses and you were heading back to campus.
And at that point of the season, you were 3-2. But you're the kind of coach that wants to challenge your team in these non-region environments so they're ready for games like this, so they're ready for season three in the postseason. After that loss to Buford and after you and I talked about your hard scheduling on purpose, what did you learn about your team from that point that has propelled you to this point getting ready for Carrollton?
Well, they played in harsh environments all year, so they're not, you know, we're used to it now. I mean, Lansing is a hard place to win, and, you know, Buford's definitely a hard place to win, and Carrollton's very similar to Buford in their aspect. So, I mean, it's not going to be new to them, you know what I mean? So, well, we know when we can play in those environments. Of course, the two losses that we have, it didn't turn out the way we expected it to. But I really love the way those kids fought against Buford that second half. And I feel comfortable, you know, a couple of bad turnovers that we lost early. We're in a real close football game, but that's on us. Mm-hmm. So Douglas County has to worry about what Douglas County. Don't beat yourself. You know, if a team's better than you, then I hats off to you. I'll let you know how I feel. But right now, for us, we just got to get better at what we do. We can't turn the football over. We got to, you know, to me, it's all about alignment and assignment. And we'll let the cards fall where they may on Friday night.
You guys are made up of a bunch of fighters, that's for sure. Coach, how would you define Douglas County football for maybe someone that hadn't seen y'all's type of play yet?
Offensively fast, speed, got some great playmakers, whether it's Ed Gregory, whether it's Devin Carter, whether it's Rakeith Kelly, whether it's Jamarcus Lindley. Mm-hmm. Our quarterback is an unbelievable athlete that's going to Utah, Michael Johnson, who really hasn't. We've tried to get him to kind of let his legs rest a little bit, because if we want to make the run that we plan on making, we need him 100% healthy throughout the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So defensively, we're fundamentally sound, and we fly to the football. That's the key. That's always been the key for us. Get 11 men to the football. We have a 3-count at practice every day. When the first guy wraps up a tackle, everybody else knows they got 3 seconds to get to the football. Ooh. Or they'll see me out to practice.
I love it.
Every defensive rep, I don't care where you're lined up, you have 3 seconds to get to that football. So that becomes a habit, and that becomes something that's innate in them to get to the football. And if we continue to do that, then we'll be fine.
Oh, you got 3 sacks last week, so you had to be proud about that.
Yeah. They play well. They play very well.
He wants 4 or 5.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The thing I love about this team more than any other team that I've had is that I can really see that this team, you know, really plays for each other. And they really care about each other. And I think that's the biggest thing for us. You know, my big thing has always been to them since they've been here is that Average teams, nobody leads. Good teams, coaches lead, and great teams, players lead. So right now, if they want to be great, it's definitely got to be a player-led team. And I think they're doing an unbelievable job of that right now.
What's it like for you and the staff to see that light come on where they might not be on the same page? It might not be a brotherhood. You know it's there, and you know that you can get to it. When the light comes on for those players and they finally understand that they're there to play for each other, what's that like to see that moment for you?
Well, I think the light came on after the Langston game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, and for me, it, you know, most of these guys have been starting for us since they were sophomore. So, you know, and we had the conversation, okay, you take the Woodward game your sophomore year. You take the Buford game, you take the Carrollton game, and you take the Grayson game of last year, and you take the Langston game of this past year. What do they all have in common? And the main thing that they had in common was, you know, we weren't all on the same page. You know, whether right or wrong, right, wrong, and different, we weren't on the same page. What I can tell you now is that these kids are on the same page. And that's the enjoyment that I'm getting out of this team. And the main thing we told them during the beginning of this year, before the season started, is enjoy this ride.
Mm.
You know, this is your last time in Douglas County. Enjoy it. Have no regrets, but really enjoy the ride. Wherever it ends up, because the bottom line is this, there's only going to be one happy team at the end of the year. Do we want to be that one happy team? Of course we do, but I'm going to enjoy the process on the way, and I'm going to thank God for every opportunity that he gives us. So I'm just blessed and happy for that.
Coach, what has the ride been like for you as a head coach, and especially with this group of seniors that you've walked through the past few years?
Honestly, this ride has been, for me, the ride became different about 3.5, 4 years ago. And I've been here 10 years. The ride became different on a personal level because I got involved with a group of, which you wouldn't believe, it's about 70 high school coaches that do a devotional meeting every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. I'm talking about coaches from all over the state, a lot of big name head coaches. And it just put everything in perspective for me. And putting that perspective was saying that I know who leads and who leads my life and who I need to give the honor and glory to. So all this has done to me is just give me a platform to thank God and just spread my Christianity out there. So I'm happy for that. But this ride has got its ups and its downs. But like I said, I'm so focused on these kids and making sure they're successful that I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to thank God for every moment, but I'm going to enjoy it. That's just the bottom line.
When a student from, say, 2016, 2017, that was there a part of those first couple of teams for you, they come back to campus, may not necessarily be a game day, but they just come back to see you, say, "Hi, coach, I'm doing this in my life right now. I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a guy that, you know, fixes cars or whatever." And they come back and they have conversations with you about what you meant to them and what the staff meant to them as a part of them now as a grown-up. What's it like to see that come full circle for you these days?
Oh, it's a blessing. I mean, it's the reason why I coach. Because somebody did it for me. My high school coach by the name of Ron Jenkins, high school basketball coach of my time, basically took me in and raised me, a guy by the name of Cadillac Harris. So I'm in contact with all of them all the time, and I thank them for everything they put into me. So when these guys come back, it's just like you said, I got one that's a doctor. I got one that's working on Wall Street. I have two that are honestly coaching college football right now. So it's an enjoyable thing to see them be successful, just to feel like you had just a little piece in that process. It's a blessing, and I'm very proud of all those young men.
Yeah. Coach, I'm sure a few of those guys are probably—
We talk a lot. We really do talk a lot.
I love that. I was going to say, Coach, I'm sure a few of those guys are dads now. What's the one piece of wisdom that you hope that they've taken away from their coach, if you will, and implemented in parenthood?
The main thing, and it's crazy because one of my female track athletes, she mentioned it yesterday on Facebook. I thought it was funny. And the main thing that my mom has always telling me that I try to instill in our kids is that you're gonna work hard. At one part of your life, you can either work hard now and find something that you enjoy to do for the rest of your life, or you can play around now and then work hard doing some things that you don't want to do for the rest of your life. So working hard is not, I mean, it's going to come at a part of your life. You got to decide when you're going to do it and how it's going to bless you and bonify you. The thing I realized that I wasn't the greatest athlete. I was a good football player, but I wasn't the greatest athlete. So I just had to work hard that way. I worked hard in school to make sure that I had a chance. And now I'm doing something that I love to do that I totally enjoy. Had I just taken my time and just got by, then for the lifestyle that I want to live, I maybe have to work two jobs doing some things that I don't want to do. So my thing is work hard now, and then because when you find something that you love to do, it's not work anymore. So
that's right.
I'm not working. I don't work the day in my life.
Coach, I'll let you know, I coach my 4.5-year-old daughter's 5U soccer team, and our two rules, when we break it down, our two rules are work hard and have fun. So we're starting that early.
That's it. That's it.
You're already out. You're already
it. Work hard and have fun.
That's right. And we're going to have fun on Friday. One, because we're going to see a killer football game. But two, Coach, it's also Halloween. So in our house, we have what's called mom tax and dad tax when it comes to candy. So if you had your coach tax with Halloween candy, what's that one piece that, nope, nobody else is getting it, and if they get in their basket, they got to hand it to you?
Oh, the Reese's Buttercups for me.
There you go.
You got to have those Reese's. Those Reese's are the best for me.
The big ones?
That's not even close.
Big ones or the little ones?
Small ones.
Oh.
I like the little ones. I like the little ones. I like the little ones.
I agree. They taste differently than the big ones.
Okay. All right.
So,
I agree.
Now, Coach, I won't be there Friday night, I am going to encourage John Nelson over here to have some miniature, John.
Yes.
Take note of that.
I have Reese's Cup small. That's what I have written down.
Reese's Cups.
Yes. That's what I got. Reese's Cup small.
Got it.
That's what I have.
All right, Coach. I got you.
I didn't realize you were lefty. Well, yeah, I'm a lefty too. Yes, sir.
We all three are. Look at this.
I am ambidextrous. I am ambidextrous. If I want to write something to write it, I write it left-handed. If I want to write it quick, I write it right-handed. I do all my sports left-handed. And I'm just weird, but you already knew that. That's how this works.
I write left-handed. I shoot pool left-handed. And if I was to play tennis, it would be left-handed. Everything else is right-handed.
Well, I
play right-handed. Basketball, I was the worst because I dribble left-handed, but I shoot right-handed. Can't dribble with my right hand.
No, I can't
shoot with my left. So
I shoot with my left and dribble with my left. You know, we would go down the road and talk about Green Run and everything else that's going on up in Virginia Beach. We would spend like the entire day discussing things. We know you're incredibly busy. We know you got stuff to do. We know you got stuff to do with us all week. Thanks for dropping by and opening the door. It's been great to see you, and you know that we'll be with you all week long, and it'll be great to see you in Carrollton on Friday night.
Always great to be here. Thank you, and God bless you. Good luck, all. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
I have this vision now in my head of the HOA. and Molly and the bulletin board and all of the DMs.
Yeah.
I want a head count. I want to know how many folks in that subdivision are invested in this game. Do they
It's the equivalent of someone getting married on a Saturday in the SEC.
Yes.
You know? That's the equivalent. Also, I firmly believe Molly could run for HOA president
absolutely.
And win it unanimously.
Absolutely.
Actually, there's probably one Karen that would say no, but
I'm just...
She should and she could.
After we're done, I'm going to call her and I'm going to see if what the latest is with the HOA. That was...
Yeah. It is tricky when Halloween falls on a Friday because, you know, that... Yeah. That's hard.
It's hard enough for folks like us because it's on a Friday during football season.
Well, it takes you away from your family. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you compound it with one of the largest rivalries in the country, and you're still going to have Halloween on Friday in your subdivision.
So here's a good solution.
Why don't you just have Halloween at the stadium?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You could do trunk or treat at the stadium.
Oh, see?
To cut off a certain part of, it could be like, you know, the booster club or whatever, parking lot or something. Like people that are invested in the program that ultimately want people to come out on a Friday night, especially when it's Halloween, do trunk or treat. Do really fun themed trunks and just hand out candy for the kids. That way it's, you know... Honestly, I would much rather take my kids to a trunk or treat at a football game and go to the football game than navigating our neighborhood where the lights aren't as bright and how early it gets dark. And with having to keep up with all of my children and all of their friends and how it continuously compounds when you run into people in the street. Take me to a football game, trunk or treat. 100%.
See, we have the solutions.
Two birds, one stone.
Trunk or treat at the Wintersville Classic. Yeah. Everyone who is in the Carter subdivision, just go and park and have your trunk or treat, and it's all good.
Right.
Thanks to Coach King. Thanks to Coach Carter and the Carter copter. So I think I know what we're going to do. We're going to get him like one of those toy helicopters that you get at the toy store and just mail it to him.
I think you should. You also, John, you cannot forget.
No.
Do you remember?
And Coach
Miniature White. Snickers.
Yes.
For Joey.
Yes.
And then you're going to need
the small
Reese's cups
for Johnny. Yeah,
for Johnny.
Yes.
Now it has to be the small ones because they are distinctively different. They taste different.
Yeah, they do. The smaller one is slightly taller and it's thicker. And the normal ones, they're obviously a little more squat. But yeah, there's a bit of a different taste.
You have one job.
Yes.
I mean, you have two jobs.
Well,
I
have one job. Just go to the store and get two things. All right. Time for the whip around, and we're going to treat it a little differently. Apparently, Mountain lost, and Nikki didn't even look. So her alma mater lost. That's what she said.
I did look after you. They lost. Okay. I confirmed it.
Okay.
No
and
need.
So we need confirmation independent of Reagan and Topsail and Goodwill Hunting and Pequawson. So here's the deal. We're going to do it from the perspective of folks that are trying to chase after playoff spots. We'll do it that way. So Jake the Snake's Parkview, they're going for fifth. They are going for fifth place in their region. They will not be in the postseason. First year for head coach Adam Clack at Parkview, and can't wait to see how that continues to grow and build. Also on the board, King James's Central Macon. They had a long year, and they have one more game left in the regular season. So it's another season for the Central Macon Chargers and for King James. Decatur and Lakeside. Sandy's Decatur and my Lakeside. We're all in the same region together. Mm-hmm. She is in the fight for the 4 seed, by the way, in region.
Okay.
They were 0-3 in non-region play, 3-3 in region play, and they are even with Chamblee right now as they're chasing after the 4 seed.
Okay. They're
both at 3-3. So Decatur has a chance. They've got to win and get some math. I, however, am not going to be making it to the postseason. We have one game left in our regular season. Hannah's Lassiter, they will not be making the postseason. Okay. Because they started out hot, and they are now
not.
And so 2-4 in region play, and if they won, they would be no better than 5. So they have a chance. They will be a 500 team or better, but they will not be in the postseason.
Not good enough.
There goes Tokyo. Mark Chilla's Chattahoochee. They play Johns Creek this week. They're both chasing after their first region win of the season, so we'll be keeping an eye on that one. Pickens. They right now are in a fight. It is 4-2, and Marky Mark's Pickens, 4-2, 7-2. Craig Bennett's now up there coaching for them. Lumpkin and Dawson are behind them at 3-3, so Pickens cannot breathe.
Oh, Coach Bennett's daughter was one of our babysitters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So now is she now commuting from Pickens?
Fun
to
fact. It was when my kids were a little bit younger and she was closer to
us. Okay, yeah. Yes. That would help. Jeremy, Ambassador Jeremy, Darlington, it's been a rough year.
Yes.
And right now, one win in region play. You've got one more game to go. And so you had a moment this past week that you wanted to discuss?
Yeah, Darlington's alumni weekend homecoming was on Friday, and they had a jersey retirement for Tate Ratledge.
Oh, yeah.
Who was he's an offensive
he's
guard.
He's not small.
He is national champion. He won 2 national championships at the University of Georgia, and he's now on the Detroit Lions.
Love that team.
Yeah.
Our old Jackie Schuler now, that used to be with GPB way back when.
Yep.
Her husband is a strength coach in Detroit.
Yep, Josh.
And my husband, Michael, he has always been intrigued by Dan Campbell. Says that is one coach that would be a lot of fun to play for.
Oh, absolutely. He demands a lot, and his time at Texas A&M, I'm sure, has molded him into that individual.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure that you tip him appropriately if he is your waiter at a restaurant.
That's right.
That's how things go. So I think that we have covered everyone in state and out of state. One more time for us. Regular season finale. Mm-hmm. It is going to be Carrollton hosting Douglas County for all of the marbles and all of the Halloween
candy.
All the Halloween candy. And it's going to get pushed to the center of the table. We're going to have that one on 7:30 start, back to 7:30. And on the web, what is our web game this week, as a matter of fact?
We've got, hold on, please.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's like it was right there, and then it wasn't.
We've got North Paulding Wolfpack at Marietta Blue Devils.
North Paulding
region
and Marietta.
Region title on the line.
Yes.
I love this for Marietta.
I mean, they've had some hard years.
Yeah.
And now that they're right there with it. And North Paulding and Marietta, 5-0. Marietta's run the table after their tough non-region schedule. They were 0-4. Now they're 5-4. North Paulding tied with North Cobb, so they cannot sleep at 7-2. North Cobb at 4-1. Walton at 3-3. So the 2, the 3, and the 4, and the 1 are all in play in Region 5.
All the spooks and thrills this week, Nelly.
Yes. And so I'm now going to go and shop and get things so people don't get mad at me when I don't come, so I don't come empty-handed when I go to Carrollton. So next week, the All-Stars. It's the All-Stars visit.
It's the All-Stars visit. Sorry, I was doing my Thriller dance.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, you got Fringe and everything. So, like I said, we're going to get the Surrey for Nick, and we're going to get you ready for another go-round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast next week. So for Marky Mark, for the unknown intern, for Ambassador Jeremy, for King James, for everybody else, Sandy, for Hannah, for President Reagan, for Goodwill Hunting, and for Nick, I'm just John. Be good. Enjoy the show. Enjoy your games. We'll see you next week.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.